Welcome to episode 211 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson, 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we turn to the book of Luke, the third of the three synoptic gospels and the 33rd book in our series, 50 books of the Bible in 50 weeks. Luke 1, verses 1 to 3. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus. Little is known about Luke, the author of the gospel that bears his name. We know he's a physician and the only Gentile to write any part of the New Testament. Paul's letter to the Colossians draws a distinction between Luke and other colleagues of the circumcision, meaning the Jews. Luke is the only New Testament writer clearly identifiable as a non-Jew. Luke is the author of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. As such, he is responsible for more than a quarter of the text of the New Testament. Luke does not name himself in either of his books, but the Apostle Paul mentions him by name in three epistles. Both Luke and Acts are addressed to the same person, Theophilus. No one knows exactly who Theophilus is, but we know that Luke's purpose in writing the two companion books is so that Theophilus will know with certainty about the person and work of Christ. Perhaps Theophilus has already received the basics of the Christian doctrine, but has yet been completely grounded in them. Luke is a close friend of Paul, who refers to him as the beloved physician. Perhaps Luke's interest in medicine is the reason his gospel gives such a high profile to Jesus' acts of healing. Paul also refers to Luke as a fellow laborer. Luke joins Paul in Troas in Asia Minor during Paul's second missionary journey. Some scholars speculate that Luke is the man of Macedonia whom Paul sees in a dream in Acts 16, verse 9. Luke is left in Philippi during the second missionary journey and picks up again to travel with Paul in the third journey. Luke accompanies Paul on his journey to Jerusalem and Rome and is with him during his imprisonment there. Luke's vivid description of his travels with Paul in Acts 27 seem to indicate that he is well-traveled and well-versed in navigation. It is believed that Luke lived in the city of Antioch in ancient Syria. There's also some evidence that he resided in Troas, the province which included the ruins of ancient Troy, and where he connects with Paul on a mission trip. Scholars note that Luke has an outstanding command of the Greek language. His vocabulary is extensive and rich, and his style at times approaches that of classical Greek, as in the preface to his gospel, while at other times it seems quite Semitic. He's familiar with sailing and has a special love for recording geographical details. All this would indicate that Luke is a well-educated, observant, and careful writer. But what is compelling about Luke is not his education, not his network of influential friends, not his material success, but rather his commitment to tell others about Christ. In the introduction to his gospel, he says, "I have decided to write." And to whom does he write? His friend, Theophilus. One might say that Luke played his part as a physician. Perhaps he goes the extra mile by being a historian and a biographer. But this is not enough for him. Every follower of Christ must tell others about the one whom they follow. Whatever your day job, whatever your background, whatever your standing, God has called you to be a witness for the kingdom, and he places people in your life to whom he would like you to testify. Some people will never know the worth of a thing unless someone tells them. This may have been true for Theophilus. Luke has to tell his friend the value of the historical authenticity of the gospel. He shares stories that have been fact-checked, parables that have been deconstructed, sermons that have been researched, not to compile an impressive academic treatise, but to convey messages that have eternal implications for every individual. Luke is intentional by presenting the claims of Christ to him in written form so that Theophilus could have a clear understanding of all he needs to know about Jesus. We need to take advantage of those opportunities by being intentional. Luke invests time and energy writing the Gospel of Luke on a scroll approximately 25 feet long. Perhaps this is the first gospel tract. Tracts have played an important role in sharing the gospel, sometimes left behind in strategic locations or handed out to people. Since at least the 7th century, Christian writers have shared their religious convictions using pamphlets of varying sizes. In 19th century England, sermons preached by the great Charles Spurgeon were written by stenographers and sold weekly for a penny apiece. In the late 19th and 20th centuries, the American Tract Society distributed religious pamphlets in multitudes of languages to newly arriving immigrants at Ellis Island. My father typed and handwrote his own religious literature. In the final months of his life, when he was receiving care in a nursing home, he distributed dozens of tracts. The motivation behind this? Excitement about the good news of the gospel, recognizing the blessings of being a child of God, understanding the urgency of the times, and obedience to the Great Commission call. When Theophilus receives the gospel and receives Christ, how does he react? The Bible does not say. But I believe that he recognizes the importance of the message and, as a believer, begins to share it with anyone who will read it or listen to him read it. As he spreads the word, that 25-foot tract is copied and recopied and shared broadly down throughout the ages. Because Luke shares with Theophilus, a vast number of people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I read recently about a display in the Museum of Science in Chicago. It is a checkerboard blown up big and placed on a table. In the lower left-hand square, the first square on the board, there is one wheat seed glued into place. There are 2 seeds on the second square, 4 on the third, 8 on the fourth, 16 on the fifth, 32 on the sixth, 64 on the seventh, 128 on the eighth square, and then they stop because they are beginning to spill over the square. Underneath, in front of the table, there is a bronze plaque that says, "This is the potential for multiplication from one grain of wheat." We had to stop with the eighth square because the square could not contain the numbers it had multiplied to by the eighth square. Had we continued to the 64th square, there would have been enough wheat seeds to fill the entire subcontinent of India 50 feet deep. As you consider the truth of this display, you can easily see how the early church brings the salvation of Christ to its world. Luke and others found a Theophilus, whether he was in a position of rank or a ditch digger. It made no difference, because the same potential impact is in every person. Anybody who is faithful, available, and teachable can get in on this. Anybody. You just have to be willing. God will do the rest. There is somebody upon whom some Theophilus is depending, and even now waiting. Could that be you? Every person has a measure of potential to be a Luke. The words you speak, the letters you write, the actions you do should be full of Jesus. Your Theophilus is waiting, and so is the world coming after him. Father, thank you for the example of Luke. Reveal to me the Theophilus to whom I am called to share life-changing truth, and give me the words and the wherewithal to share. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.